Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for another wonderful day. A day you get to live the best life. This is the best day of all the best ones yet to come. Thank you, Father. You have a tremendous, those great and precious promises that God has given. Life and life abundantly is your portion. He's not up there withholding. He wants you enjoying life filled with His peace, His love, His joy, celebrating every day. Seeing His hand working, His power working through you to release, destroy, dissolve, undo everything the devil's been doing in your life and your family's life and the lives of those around you, those that you pray for, the ones the Lord has you pray for that you don't even know when you're praying in tongues and dealing with a lot of the things in the spirit realm, fulfilling your destiny. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, talking about our wonderful Jesus. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. In other words, of God, He has put you in Christ, united us with Him, okay, who God has made unto us. So this is who Jesus is to you. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Four big words, but contain a lot of stuff. And as I was praying during the week, the Lord highlighted to me the first of those, wisdom. So this morning I want to talk about expanding wisdom. This is the year of expanding our lives, of expanding the kingdom of God. And to do that, we need to be expanding in wisdom every day. Our wisdom comes from God, and it is, or she is imparted to us to fulfill His destiny in our lives. And so I'm going to go through a number of scriptures that talk about wisdom and look at those. So we'll start in Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to read about what's recorded here about wisdom and then have a look at a few New Testament verses as well. Because wisdom is essential. And I guess the best definition I've heard of wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and apply it correctly. All right? So wisdom is the ability to take knowledge, revelation, information that God's given to you, and to apply it correctly to the situations that you're facing. So when you're going through a trial or a test or someone's attacking you or whatever it is, wisdom is what gives you the ability to discern God's purposes and how to speak that and see it come to pass. Just like we heard the testimony of Sam, right? Wisdom is knowing what the right thing to do is. That's why Solomon was classed as the wisest man. Well, Jesus obviously replaced that, but prior to Jesus, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Why? Because God gave to him divine insight and understanding, divine revelation about how to resolve circumstances and situations, about how to govern. He governed the whole kingdom. Well, you govern a kingdom as well. So we need wisdom to govern the way God wants us to govern, to oversee, to use our authority, to exercise the dominion we've been given. And so that's what we get to do. And so today I want to talk about expanding that wisdom. And really the synopsis of it is living close to Jesus, listening to Him, operating in Him, letting the Holy Spirit reveal to you the truth. Because that's what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit comes to reveal to us what Jesus couldn't tell us when He was here on the earth. But the Holy Spirit does that now. So every moment of the day, you are getting that wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 8, let's have a look at verse 35. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. Let me read it out of the King James first. Proverbs 8, most of you will probably recognize this verse. It's a fairly well-known one. Verse 35. Whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. Now that is wisdom talking, okay? This whole chapter 8, and we're going to read through some of the passage here. Chapter 8, what it says here, he who finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now what did Jesus say? I am come to give you life and life abundantly. So you could put in there, I have come to give you wisdom and wisdom abundantly, right? Because isn't that what this verse says? He who finds me finds life. Well, wisdom and Jesus are the same thing, okay? We just read, He came, He was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, okay, as well, but wisdom is the first one we're looking at. So wisdom is the life He came to give you. So wisdom is part of living your eternal destiny, is living in God's wisdom. Well, it's good to know that God supplied that abundantly. 2 Peter 1:3, he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, which means he's already given you all the wisdom that you need. Thank you, Jesus. The only problem we've struggled with is we haven't known how to lay hold on that, haven't received it. We've tried to figure it out with our own brains, by our experiences, by other people's knowledge, by human theology and philosophy, rather than finding out from Jesus, this is how you live. Okay? So with that in mind, let's go into Proverbs chapter 8, and I'm going to read out of the Passion. We're going to start in verse 22 in the Passion Translation. In the beginning, I was there. This is talking about wisdom. This is wisdom talking, okay? For God possessed me even before he created the universe. From eternity past, I was set in place. Before the world began, I was anointed from the beginning. Before the ocean depths were poured out, and before there were any glorious fountains overflowing with water, I was there dancing. So wisdom was dancing with God before anything else was created. He was a part of God, so he's part of you. Why? Because we're part of God as well. Or she. It's actually, she's a she, apparently. Okay? A being. Even before one mountain had been sculpted or one hill raised up, I was there dancing. What does dance mean to you? It's a celebration, isn't it? It's a joyful overflowing. Can't contain yourself. So there was wisdom dancing with the Father, having a good time with the happy God, enjoying life. When he created the earth, the fields, even the first atom of dust, I was already there. When he hung the tapestry of the heavens and stretched out the horizon of the earth, when the clouds and the skies were set in place and the subterranean fountains began to flow strong, I was already there. So wisdom's been the longest standing creation of God. Verse 29 was set in place. Okay. I was already there. When he set in place the pillars of the earth and spoke the decrees of the seas and commanded the waves so that they wouldn't overstep their boundaries, I was there, close to the Creator's side, as his master artist. Now there's a note here in this Bible that says that word artist can also be translated architect. I was there close to the Creator's side as his master artist, master architect. So when you look at a sunset, the beauty of that creation, wisdom was part of that architecture, part of that artistry. Wisdom was there with the Creator, bringing it all to pass. Daily he was filled with delight in me, as I playfully rejoiced before him. So if you think wisdom's some sour, dour, I just got to get by, you got to know. Wisdom is happy. Wisdom is celebratory. So wisdom is joyful. I laughed and played, so happy with what he had made, while finding my delight in the children of men. Okay? So happy, so full of joy. And that last phrase there, he found his delight when God created us. Isn't that incredible? Why? Because you are a piece of God, in inverted commas. You are part of him, been brought back into him. But when God created man, he took of himself and created man. Wisdom got so excited about it. Thank you, Jesus. So you are far more than just a being sitting here waiting till heaven comes, or waiting to get to heaven. You are the one who wisdom delights in, who the Father delights in, who God has a perfect plan for, who wants you living an awesome life. A life that is fulfilling and satisfying. A life that ministers wherever you go, encouraging others, using your authority and dominion. All right, let's carry on. Verse 32. So listen, my sons and daughters, to everything I tell you. So here's the instruction from wisdom. Listen to what I tell you, for nothing will bring you more joy than following my ways. You see, wisdom is Jesus. Nothing will bring you more joy than following Jesus, walking with me. Listen to my counsel. For my instruction will enlighten you. You'll be wise not to ignore it. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I say. You're the most joyful, happy people on earth. For the fountain of life pours into you every time that you find me. And this is the secret of growing in the delight and favor of the Lord. Walking in wisdom, living in wisdom, choosing wisdom. But those who stumble and miss me will be sorry they did, for ignoring what I have to say will bring harm to your own soul. And those who hate me are simply flirting with death. So, choose wisdom. Now, you understand there's two types of wisdom. There's human wisdom and there's God's wisdom. And you see that in the New Testament. Paul brings that out. He says, don't listen to the wisdom of man, listen to the wisdom of God, which is listening to Jesus, listening to the Holy Spirit leading and directing us. Go back to verse 11 of the same chapter. Chapter 8, verse 11. Wisdom is so priceless that it exceeds the value of any jewel. Nothing you could wish for can equal her. I am wisdom, and I am shrewd and intelligent. I have at my disposal living understanding to devise a plan for your life. That's fulfilling your destiny. Wisdom is the one that has the plan for your life. Wisdom pours into you when you begin to hate every form of evil in your life, for that's what the worship and fearing of God is all about. Then you will discover that your pompous pride and perverse speech are the very ways of wickedness that I hate. Pompous pride and perverse speech. Pride is, I can do it myself. I got this, God. I can fix this. I know what to do. Yeah, that's pride. Thank you, Jesus, that you show me. It's not my own wisdom. It's not my own knowledge. And then perverse speech. I meditated on that for a bit. What's perverse speech? Perverse speech is anything that doesn't line up with what God says. That's corrupt or perverse. So if you say, it could get pretty, you're all good on this, okay? I have this pain in my back. Well, that was perverse speech. I have an addiction to this. That's perverse speech. Unless it's, I'm addicted to God. I'm addicted to the joy of the Lord. I'm addicted to the wine of heaven. That's good. Why? Because God says that's what you're supposed to be addicted to, right? To Him, not to the things of this earth. So yes, perverse speech. There's a lot of, as I was thinking about that, I wrote down some of the things that a perverse speech would include, things like being judgmental, being critical, being selfish. Ouch. Thank you, Father. We're all forgiven. It's been eradicated. It's not held against you. We walk in His wisdom. Thank you, Father. Now, true wisdom is God's way of thinking. It's His way of using knowledge. And wisdom itself is imparted to you. So engage wisdom as a being. You could almost look at it like an angel, someone who's there to help you, to encourage you, to teach you. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll start in the King James. I want to read it first here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Okay, this is talking about the joining together of Christians, God's people. And the verse I'm after here is, the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So in God and Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The good news for us is they have been imparted to us. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are given to us. God doesn't withhold them. He's not up there saying, well, till you behave right, you don't get them. No, He's already said, I've already given them. They are yours. Colossians 2, let me read it out of the Passion Translation. Colossians 2, verse 2. I am contending with you that your hearts will be wrapped in the comfort of heaven and woven together into love's fabric. Okay, so this is Paul when he says, I'm contending, I'm declaring over you, I am demanding that this is the case. I'm standing against everything that the enemy's trying to do, and I'm contending for your benefit. What's the benefit? That the comfort of heaven fills your heart. In other words, the celebration of God's provision, of His life, of His everything, to comfort you, to know that life is not a waste of time, not just something you have to survive till you get to heaven. No, the comfort of heaven is you get to live heaven here on earth. So you get the comfort of heaven and woven together into love's fabric. Now, what is love's fabric? God himself, right? Isn't God love? So love's fabric is the essence of God. So what Paul is saying is, I'm contending for you to be woven into love's fabric, into God himself. Not only a head knowledge of that, but a reality of experience, that you live in and know God's presence with you continually. His love shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Okay, woven into love's fabric. This will give you access, or the availability, of all the riches of God as you experience the revelation of God's great mystery, Christ. I like the way he puts this. Knowing you are in heaven, woven into God himself, will give you access to all the riches of God. Why? Because you know they're yours. It's called faith. Right? God makes it. Being woven into that is what builds your faith, strengthens your faith, lets you know you already have access to all the riches of God as you experience the revelation of God's great mystery, Christ. As you experience a revelation of Jesus, Christ consciousness, Christ's work, what he's done for you. Verse 3, for our spiritual wealth is in him. Our spiritual wealth is in him, like hidden treasure waiting to be discovered. Heaven's wisdom and the endless riches of revelation knowledge. That's what's in Jesus. Why are we singing that song? The more I seek you, the more I find you, right? So we walk with Jesus every day. We talk with him. Seeking means living in his presence. For our spiritual wealth, and I'd say here spiritual wealth is the manifestation, manifest as natural wealth. Okay, do you get that? Spiritual wealth is the real world, who you are in Jesus, and it manifests in this natural world, in the physical realm, in your body, in your soul, in your spirit. So the wealth of heaven is for you. That's why Psalm 91 says, you know, no sickness comes nigh your dwelling. No accidents, no disasters. Angels are protecting you. He's given his angels charge over you. With long life will I satisfy you. The covenant promises God has made, that's our spiritual wealth. It's in Jesus, like a hidden treasure waiting to be discovered. Now God's been revealing it to us. That's the exciting part. We're learning about the hidden treasure, learning about how much God has given to us to rule and reign in life. And he says, heaven's wisdom and the endless riches of revelation knowledge. Understanding Jesus and what his purpose for you is. That's God's plan. Let's go back to Proverbs. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 9. So you're entitled, obviously, to wisdom. That's what Colossians says there. Wisdom comes through the knowledge of Jesus. Revelation knowledge, his life in you. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Again, I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. Wisdom has built her a palace upon seven pillars to keep it secure. So wisdom's built a palace. That's where you live. She has made a banquet feast, and the sacrifice has been killed. She has mingled her wine, and the tables are all set. That sounds like a party, right? A banquet, a celebration. She has sent out her maidens, crying out from the high place, inviting everyone to come and eat until they are full. Whosoever wants to know me and receive my wisdom, come and dine at my table and drink of my wine. That's the invite. Come and partake at the table of wisdom and drink of her wine, the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus. Partake of those. Amen. That's revelation knowledge about what God has for you. Okay, back to Colossians. Let's have a look at Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. All right? So that's a well-known phrase out of King James. Follow peace. What is peace? Eirene in the Greek, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom. This is verse 15 of Colossians 3. Let your heart always be guided by peace, the peace of the Anointed One. So if you're feeling peaceless or agitated or worried, get back into peace. Go meditate on what God has done for you, how much He loves you. Listen to the scriptures. Meditate in that, okay? And let that peace guide you, because there's a lot of times you wonder, how do I know what to do? Well, follow peace. The Holy Spirit will guide you, lead you into that place. If you just know that that's the way you're supposed to go. If there's a little scratchiness there, it usually means you're not following peace, or it's not the way you should be going. Verse 16, let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. There's that word. Where does that wisdom come from? Let the word of Christ live in you richly. What is the word of Christ? It's what He says about you. Well, it's wisdom, yeah. It floods you with all wisdom. His word is wisdom that floods you with wisdom. So what is that word? It's what He says about you. You're righteous. You're blessed. You live in bliss. You're happy. Joy fills your heart. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What's He say about you? You're precious to me. You're deeply loved. Let those words flood your life, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with psalms and with festive praises and with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. It's supposed to be a happy place. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, letting Him know how much you appreciate what He does for us. Verse 17, let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips. Now that kind of sums up everything, right? Is there anything that doesn't fall into those two categories? Let every activity and every word. That pretty much sums up everything we do, right? What does it say? Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And bring your constant praise to God because of God the Father, because of what Christ has done for you. That's the word of Christ. That is the wisdom that He has given to us. So we declare His victory, His deliverance, the eternal life that He's given to us, the joy of His way. Our life and actions should reflect how much you are loved, how much we are loved. It causes you to have compassion. It causes you to be willing to, when you see something that's not right, you start saying, what is right? I speak life to that circumstance. I reject everything of the enemy. We command wholeness to flow. We command the circumstance to be resolved correctly. That's our privilege of ruling and reigning. Okay, go over to James chapter 1. Again, out of the Passion Translation. James chapter 1. Comes after Hebrews, before Peter. James chapter 1, verse 5. If anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom. It's a well-known scripture, isn't it? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It's the King James Version, who gives liberally to all. Here it says, if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and He will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but He will overwhelm your failures with His generous grace. That's what our God's like. He's not going to tell you off because you, well, you didn't show much wisdom there, son. So no, He's going to say, oh, here's my grace to enable you to walk in my wisdom. Okay, verse 6. Just make sure you ask empowered by confident faith without doubting that you will receive. Now, the more you read the scriptures and you put 2 Peter 1 of 3 with that, He's already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Look at the Old Covenant scriptures. Okay, Isaiah 54, your children shall be taught of the Lord. You and your children, is what it implies, shall be taught of the Lord. Those covenant promises God has given, when you take that and you say here, you say, well, I'm going to ask God for wisdom. Well, guess what? He's already given it to you. That's what builds your faith, knowing it's already done. You're not waiting on God or waiting on yourself to behave right and get all your I's dotted and your T's crossed and get your life in order before you get wisdom. No, God's already supplied it. So what's our job? Thank you, Father, for wisdom. Thank you that you have given it to me, that I operate in wisdom. Even when you mess up, as the testimony was about the guy smoking, even when you mess up, thank you, Father, I am your righteousness. That's what I live in. It overcomes and destroys the ability of those things of the earth, things of the curse, to lay hold on you. Now there's that song we sing, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And we need to change those words slightly, because the chains are already broken. The name of Jesus already destroyed them. All you're doing is enforcing that destruction. The song kind of makes it sound like the more you speak the name of Jesus, the more the chains break off. No, they're already gone. You just haven't had the faith to believe it yet. We just haven't. Well, put me in that category too, okay? So, faith here. Faith is knowing that God has already supplied it. And it says here, empowered by confident faith, without doubting that you will receive it. Knowing that he gives you the wisdom. That's where rest comes in. Remember I said that little statement a few weeks back? Rest is the manifestation of completed faith. Thank you, Father. A restful, peaceful bunch. That's who we are. Because we are in faith, knowing that God has already done it, we have received it, that's how we live. Then he goes on, and James says here, for the ambivalent person believes 1 minute and doubts the next. Got to keep going back to, thank you, Jesus. That's the word of Christ that we just read. That word flowing through that releases wisdom, okay, is that knowledge that it's already done. He's already supplied. So don't be ambivalent. Don't be double-minded, is the way the King James puts it. For the ambivalent person believes 1 minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up 1 minute and tossed down the next. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? You can't. But you know you have it because God has promised it. What did Jesus say? John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. Up till now you haven't asked the Father anything in my name, but ask and you shall receive. The Father will give it to you. That's where your confidence is. Jesus said it. So that's why you put faith in it. Jesus said it. It's a done deal. So whenever I ask, thank you, Father, for wisdom, you know you've got wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. As I was reading through the scripture and meditating, I was reminded of certain statements in the Old Testament. Do you remember when God gave instructions about how to build the temple, or the tabernacle rather, and the Ark of the Covenant and the garments of the priests and all that stuff? Do you remember there was a certain saying that got said about the craftsmen? Yeah? Okay, well, I wasn't going to look it up, but let me show it to you. Go over to Exodus chapter 31. And this statement was made, and God declared it. And as I've meditated on this, I remember as a teenager reading this and saying, that's what I want. The good news is we already have it. And it will produce in you the destiny God's made for you. Okay, so Exodus, and I'm going to read a couple of passages here. Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. And here's the verse. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, and of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Okay, go over to chapter 35. Start verse 25 and 26. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and brought that which they had spun, both of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Drop down to verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in the carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in the heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahimach, of the tribe of Dan, them that he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. Now the King James uses the word cunning, but you really could use the word artistic, right? God gave them that ability. Can he give you the same ability? Has he given us the same ability? Now this, as I was thinking about it, this guy was given, Bezalel was given the wisdom to build and create and design the tabernacle. God gave him through Moses gave him the picture of what it was supposed to look like. And then this guy Bezalel, I don't believe it was just him. I suspect that he was the overseer of it, and he trained and taught a whole bunch of other people how to help. Now that happened in the natural. In the real world, God created all of that. And now what I see is he is wanting us to step into that role of helping him create the future, the beauty, the artistry, the restoring creation to the way God designed it to be. He's limited himself to doing it with us. That's why you need wisdom. That's why we have wisdom. He's given it to us to do what he wants us to do. It was said about Jesus when he was a boy. What did it say? Luke chapter 2 said he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It's one of the better known verses about Jesus. So you have the same privilege. Turn to Luke chapter 21, final couple of verses. Luke chapter 21, verse 14. And this is part of the words of Jesus instructing us, teaching us, because he knew what you would be facing. Luke chapter 21, verse 14. Yet determine in your hearts not to prepare for your own defense. This is talking about when people criticize you, try to get at you. It says when kings call you, government leaders try to testify against you or punish you or whatever. Determine in your heart not to prepare your own defense. Simply speak the words of wisdom that I will give you that moment, and none of your persecutors will be able to withstand the grace and wisdom that comes from your mouths. There's a good covenant promise. Doesn't matter what they try and criticize you of or condemn you for or ask you, put you on the spot. It says the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom to say what needs to be said in that circumstance. Now I think about some of the testimonies we've been hearing of the wisdom that's being given for inventions, for controlling circumstances, creating new things that haven't existed before here on the earth. I remember Justin was saying one stage that, and this is a known fact apparently, well it must be, there was a company in England that he was working with, and they would come to him and ask him for his wisdom on how to do something. And he said they were pioneering creating buildings using hemp as the building material. And he said they went to the father and got the wisdom as how to use it. He imparted it to them, and they went off and started doing it. And then they came and says, well, we've got this done, what's the next step? And so he would show them again the next step. And that next step was how to make the financing, how to build the production line, those kinds of things. He went through each one. And then he said, so much so that they won the best newcomer of the year in England for the building industry. That's pretty cool. Go to heaven and receive inventions and concepts and new creation things that manifest in this natural world. That's getting God's wisdom for circumstances. So you have it. Jesus has been made unto you. Is that the first verse we read? He's been made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. So you are as wise as God. Is that blasphemy? No, it's not. Once upon a time, they would have said it was. That's right. So we have his wisdom. As he is, so are you in this earth. So, stay close to Jesus, listen to him, and all the wisdom you need is supplied to fulfill your destiny, to fulfill God's calling on your life, to enjoy life, a long and satisfying life, to be free from everything of the curse, to live divinely healthy and provided for, to live in joy and peace. That's God's plan. He wants you living, 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 rejoicing, celebrating, enjoying life. That's his plan. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've done everything necessary. It's already provided. Thank you, Jesus, that you did it through your death and resurrection, that we get to be partakers of everything you have completed and to be part with you in restoring all of creation and in doing what you have called us to do. So we celebrate you and we thank you for what a good God you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Life is good.